In the 1990s, the uncontrollable growth of a culture of scandal crowded out discussion of issues critical to the nation's well-being, including terrorism. It is unnerving to think how much of the nation's attention was devoted to O.J. Simpson, JonBenet Ramsey, Chandra Levy, and Gary Condit. But those diversions were inconsequential compared to the many scandals about the nation's government and leaders, in which an accelerating feedback loop linked the political arena and the press. This was possible because political life after the end of the Cold War became, as the writer James B. Stewart put it, blood sport. A pattern emerged. Reporters caught whiff of an audit or internal investigation, a page one story would appear, and a cycle of outrage would commence, clearing the way for special investigators and congressional hearings. As one inquiry petered out, the authority of a special counsel would be expanded to examine other rumored infractions. Much of this exfoliating reportage came from the New York Times' Jeff Gerth. His reporting beginning in November 1992 about the failed Whitewater land deal became the seedbed for a decade of inquiries. In the years that followed, the writ of Special Investigator Kenneth Starr was expanded to cover the suicide of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster, Hillary Clinton's alleged involvement in firing seven employees in the White House travel office, White House aides' alleged misuse of FBI files, and in 1998, the possibility that President Clinton committed perjury by denying under oath that he had had a sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. The subsequent impeachment of the president left little public room for other issues. Why America became so enthralled by these scandals is something that will keep historians busy for years to come. Part of the impetus was probably unfinished business from the cultural conflict that began in the 1960s, centered on the rapid social changes of feminism, the permissive society, and legalized abortion. The Clintons were a perfect lightning rod for the resumption of these battles. However the factors are finally parsed, Americans' addiction to the culture of scandal left little space for the perception of new threats. This was a dangerous fixation, especially for a nation that is the world's sole superpower, and therefore the world's primary target of discontent. President Clinton's deeds, for which he was impeached, helped feed this appetite. And in the end, the public commons, the place where the nation deliberates, was covered with the pornography of the Starr Report. There is a schizophrenia about the power of the press. At times, we still think of it as an objective bystander, narrating events, and many of its leading practitioners portray it this way. In American democracy, however, the press is part of the policy process. As Washington reporters from top newspapers and the networks know well, their personal ability to move the wheels of government equals that of almost anyone in the stone and concrete piles that line Pennsylvania and Independence Avenues. The physicist Werner Heisenberg famously noted that observation changes matter at the subatomic level. It does so every bit as much at the political level. With a public discussion of the threat in the years before September 11th, there would have been a chance to talk about sustained military action against Afghanistan and the use of U.S. ground forces to hunt down the terrorists. As it happened, no national leader of either party would publicly suggest such action in that environment. Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda, Bin Laden, these concerns were too distant.